Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Walgren, and that is correct. We are here. It is the finale. It is the top 10 episode of the 2023 Brody 50. You know that's why you're here. You know you want to hear who we have as the top 10 players this coming season in the NFL. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Derek Rusnick. You may know him as Captain Orange, because that's what I frequently call him, even though no one else does. Derek, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Let's start counting down. It is the final countdown. It is like New Year's Eve, Christmas Day, and Thanksgiving all rolled into one.
Absolutely. Well, here we are at Brody number 10. And at Brody number 10, we have a player who wears number 11, and that is Micah Parsons, the linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. It's tough to truly call him a linebacker, Derek. He does a little bit of everything. He has back-to-back seasons with 13 and then 13 and a half sacks. He's been the backup defensive player of the year for 2 years in a row. And he has won a defensive rookie of the year. It's kind of crazy. He just kind of does it all. He's great at tackling. He's great at rushing the passer. Crazy athletic profile. The things that Dan Quinn has had him doing are unlike anything I've seen a Dan Quinn linebacker do in their defense, which is saying a lot. Because we've seen some great linebackers that Dan Quinn has had in the past. Bobby Wagner, probably up there with some of the best. But Micah Parsons is just showing out early and often. He's still only 24 years old. He just turned 24, Derek. Like, we have not even seen the best of Micah Parsons yet. And what we've seen has been really... really dang good. I'm excited that he is here in the top 10. I think we could probably both argue that he could be higher, but I'm happy that we have him here. What do you think about Micah Parsons?
I will tell you this right now. My expectation is that Micah Parsons is in our top five in the coming years, at least touching that top the fifth spot or something like that. Because, you know, there's going to be some guys who fall out probably that we'll talk about later on that could be retiring soon or, you know, moving down the list. And I definitely think he's on the upswing. I just really, really feel bad for Mr. Parsons, as he'll never see the postseason because he's on the Cowboys. And the Cowboys stink. Everyone knows it. Dallas is doo-doo. And it's going to be great to see him in the regular season. But when they're one and done in the playoffs every single year, you're never going to see him play under those big lights. This is brought to you by our local Eagles fan, Sean Morgan, as I have to stand up for him. He is on assignment this week, I'm going to stand up for all of my NFC East brethren and make jokes about the Cowboys.
Technically, Dallas did win a postseason game this past year. It, however, was against a team from the NFC South. So I don't know if that really counts, even though it was on the road, but... from what I've heard, being in the NFC South does not make you a good team.
Yeah, probably something like that. I do know that another NFC East team did go to the Super Bowl, and I'm still standing for the Eagles on that case. Then,
let's just say I think that when we're done with the top 10, the Eagles will not be disappointed with those results compared to the Cowboys.
Yeah, so let's move on to Brody number 9. And we're talking about one of the best tight ends in the league, and clearly the best tight end that we think is out there, as he is the highest rated tight end on our list, and that is Travis Kelce. This guy is unbelievable to me. So I watch a lot of Chiefs games living in Oklahoma. That's one of the three teams that you get. It's either the Chiefs, the Cowboys, or whatever team Baker Mayfield plays for. And so I watch a lot of Travis Kelce. And what I don't understand is I get that the Chiefs have a lot of great receivers, but Travis Kelce is always open. And I don't understand. Like, if there's anybody who shouldn't be open, it shouldn't be Travis Kelce. Like, if you're telling me that Patrick Mahomes throw the ball down the field and they have a speedy receiver and you get beat and that's how you lose, okay, cool. I get you that, you know, that's going to happen. You can put a safety over the top. You can have better coverage, something like that. But you can't let a tight end be that open all the time. And he just is always open. I don't understand it. You can't cover him with a cornerback. You can't cover him with a linebacker. You have to have that weird cheetah position that Brett Venables from Oklahoma has, where you have this hybrid linebacker safety type. Maybe that's, you know, maybe he's going to be the next revolutionary defensive coordinator in the NFL to bring in someone to cover Travis Kelce. Now that I'm off my soapbox, Travis Kelce, number 9 in our list this year, third time on the list. He was number 8 in 2021, number 9 in 2022, and of course number 9 in 2023. So he is staying exactly where he's at, and I think he's still been our top tight end over the last 3 years.
Absolutely. And there's fantastic reasons for that. I mean, part of it is, yes, he's gone up in some of his stats the last few years, but it sure helps when you have Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball. But it's not like he was bad before that. I mean, we're talking about a player who has over 10,000 career receiving yards, over 800 catches, and has 69 receiving touchdowns. Heck, he even has 2 rushing touchdowns. It's not something I... Yeah, so he's going to go out there. He's going to get open, like you said. He's open all the time. You might as well call him 24/7 because he's always open for business. And he's just going to go out there, get things taken care of, and he's going to embarrass you at some point. Like, it's crazy just how good he has been. He is, in my opinion, a no doubt Hall of Famer. And depending on how long he plays, he might be the best tight end of all time. He definitely is a top 10 player still. And I am excited for what he will do in 2023, because we know he's going to bring it every game. Well, Derek, I'm going to switch it up on us again. I'm going to take us from offense, and I'm going to bring it back to defense again, because we just got to give some more love to the defensive players. The defensive player that I have in mind today, sometimes I've seen him go by Little Bear. It is Nick Bosa. He is the younger Bosa brother. Oh, Brody number 8. Ooh, that was a close call. I almost forgot that. 18.5 sacks last year. Current defensive player of the year. He is a prior defensive rookie of the year. He's good. He is so good. And it's so tough when he is not healthy and not able to be out there on the field. But when he's there, he's the stud. He's gotten, you know, jobs for D'Amico Ryans. You know, when you go out there and you can get 18.5 sacks in this season, and he had 15.5 the year before that, and he's getting the quarterback regularly, like, people are going to go, oh, this guy's scheming up good defense. Well, it's also called Nick Bosa is incredibly good. most defenses that have Nick Bosa would look really good on them. Just a random stat right there. Derek, I know that you were on the bandwagon this past year. You jumped on after you tasted some of Russ's cooking early in the year and were like, this looks like a steak that Lincoln Riley might have overdone or a brisket that he overdid. I need to find something else that I can enjoy this season. And you jumped on that bandwagon. What do you have to say here about Nick Bosa?
Okay, so as much as I talk about the offense of the 49ers, the defense is the real stars. They get things going. They keep the Niners in the games. When you have, hey, we can put out a third string quarterback, the last pick in the draft, and they're going to be great because you don't have to worry about it on the other side of, if he throws an interception, cool, the defense is going to stop him. And Nick Bosa is the gears that make that defense go. You win from the bottom up. So the bottom is those hog mollies in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. That's where you win first. And Nick Bosa is going to win his matchup most of the time. Double-digit sack for so many years now, and when he doesn't get the sack, he's disrupting the play. He's pushing guys outside of where they want to be, disrupting a play on a run game, on the pass game, just does it all. So he is jumping up our charts here. 2021, he was 16th. Last year, he was 28th. This year he's 8th, so there's plenty of room for him to move up. I how much I love those linemen, both offensive and defensive, and I'm just having a field day with this part of the draft.
Absolutely, it's amazing to be able to sit here, look at where we're at. I mean, it's so tough to be like, well, what makes Nick Bosa better than Travis Kelce? They're both the best player at their position in the league. Like, it's good. if I have to pick one, give me the one who can tackle the quarterback, because the only way that you can prevent someone like Travis Kelce catching the ball is when Nick Bosa or Michael Parsons sacks them and before they throw it, which doesn't happen often. But tons of talent, tons of athleticism so far on this list. Derek, why don't you keep us going on that defensive line here as we continue the countdown?
Yeah, Brody number 7. Now, Brody number 7 is not actually number 7. To me, he will always be number 1 or number 2. As I think this guy could go down, if not already, the greatest football player of all time. I am talking about Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle for the Rams. I almost said St. Louis there. I actually mean Los Angeles. So what I mean by what I say is there are great quarterbacks out there. There's wonderful wide receivers. There are, Travis Kelce, one of the greatest tight ends of all time. But there is one guy that is on the football field that changes the game of NFL football, and that's Aaron Donald. A lot of times you do not get a defensive tackle that is the sack leader for the NFL, or even gets close to it. A lot of times defensive tackles are in the middle, they're stopping the run, they're disrupting a play, they're getting hurries, and you're looking at you're looking at the other stats. You're not looking at sacks or anything like that. Aaron Donald has everything. He is a constant disruptor always in the backfield. I think he has a timeshare back there, and you cannot share the time in the backfield with Aaron Donald. He is going to sack you. He is going to disrupt the play. He's going to stop the run, and he does everything that he has to do. And, you know, he's got that ring now. So it, you know, I think that that kind of tops off everything else, because the Super Bowl is such a team game. There's no one player who can take over a game and win it for their team, especially on the defensive side. You can win a lot of games on the defensive side, but what I'm saying is there is, in comparison to some of the greats, we have to put Aaron Donald up there in that pantheon of some of the of modern greatness, because he is the best at his position. He is the best defensive player that we've seen in a very long time in the modern NFL under this rule set that we have. He had a little bit of an off year. The whole Rams had a little bit of an off year, but he's still Aaron Donald, and he still deserves to be in our top 10. Okay, I am off my soapbox. Caleb, tell me what you think.
I mean, I tend to agree with you here, Derek. I think that Aaron Donald is not ranked high enough on this list. I think we both placed him higher than number 7 when we did our rankings.
Yeah.
He has been in the league for 9 years. Last year was the first time that he did not get voted in for first team all pro or defensive rookie of the year or something. Like, he technically was a pro bowler, but like, he's a 3-time defensive player of the year. He's won a championship. He's had double digit sacks 6 times in 9 years. He's forced a bunch of fumbles. And when I was double checking, Derek, you know, I like to look at this whenever we're talking about some of these elite players, and go, where, with Pro Football Reference, where do they have them on their Hall of Fame monitor? They already have Aaron Donald as the 2nd best defensive tackle of all time, even though he has only played for 9 years.
Exactly.
The only person who he is behind is Bob Lilly, who started for 14 seasons, already has less sacks than Aaron Donald. But when you have 196 games, there's just more that you can put up over that time period. Aaron Donald is going to get him. Aaron Donald, like you said, could either be the best player or the best defensive player of this generation, if not more. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I really think that Aaron Donald is that good, and that it is crazy to think that he's here at number 7. That's great, but he could be higher. I think we would say he should be higher, and he's just so freaking good. Like, we've had him in the top 3 each of the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and I understand that, yes, he only played 11 games last year. He only had 5 sacks. We're talking about Aaron Donald. Like, he's coming back hungry. You think that he's going to see that he didn't make first team all pro and he's not going to come back starving this offseason? I think he is. I think he's going to tear things up in the NFC West, and that you're not going to want to see him on the field this year, because he's going to be pushing you around.
And his off years are good years for a lot of other players. Like you said, what, 5 sacks last year?
In 11 games. Like, that's 11 games. Like, basically a sack every other game, which is something that most players would love. Most players would love for that type of chance to happen to them.
I completely agree. I think that a lot of times we get hyped behind you know, bigger names, and not to to throw out this name as a dig on my favorite person on the other side of the screen, but a lot of times we get the Aaron Rodgers, like, he's a big name, he's in the news. He's got like what, three or four MVPs now.
He's got quite like, a few.
Yeah. So we enamored by the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Josh Allens, you know, those kind of people. And you don't give love to the guys who absolutely destroy the game. And Aaron Donald is that guy. I'm going to leave it at that. But we need to put some respect on his name.
Absolutely. I feel like you gave me the best transition you could. I'm going to go in Brody number six. Speaking of players that might be overshadowing because of the position they play, we have Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, here at Brody number six, just outside of the top five. He's been in the top 10 each of the 3 years that we've done this. Last year, he was all the way up at number three. But let's face it, we were a little bit more hyped for what he could do last year, and those results just didn't quite come in the same way. I think I'll speak and say how much he runs still makes me a little bit nervous and iffy on him. I want to be able to see him do well and stay healthy and be a good quarterback for a long time. It's somewhat interesting. I know we talked about Ryan Mallett in the last episode. Josh Allen is 6'5". He is 237. But he's athletic. Like, he is not a speed of 51, I believe you said, Derek.
That is correct. Like, I believe he's in the mid-70s or upper 70s.
Like, if we were going into Madden to do create a player, there's a good chance that it would possibly turn out to be someone like Josh Allen. Like, hopefully a little bit less gunslingeriness, because I don't know if that's quite a term, gunslingeriness.
Yeah. I like it. Brody Sports Talk 2023. Weird
dictionary.
Weird. Yeah. Thank you, Webster's.
But yeah, basically I look at the last 2 years, 15 interceptions in 21, 14 in 2022. You can't do that. He had three picks in the playoffs last year. That's not going to cut it. Like, at some point he has to be able to play enough games in a row cleanly to be able to help the Bills try to get those Super Bowl dreams that they've been itching to get to for so long. There's a lot of pressure on him. I don't necessarily envy that position for him, but he's looked great the last 3 years. I want to be able to see him succeed because I want the underdog narrative to come true for Buffalo. But Derek, what do you kind of think here? I know that in general, he's not the big lineman guy. We'll get to another one of those here in a minute. But what do you think here of Josh Allen at number six?
Okay, so Josh Allen deserves his spot because he has made a lot of people look really good and has helped a pretty decent offensive coordinator get the head coaching job at the New York Giants. One of the issues that has happened with Josh Allen is that he is so good now that he has developed, because, you know, his first couple of years did not look good, looked like a guy from Wyoming who probably shouldn't have been taken with the pick that he was taken at. And now, all of a sudden, he, over the last couple of years, he has become this top, you know, top 10 player in the league. And I don't think that the Bills understood that and put the what he needs around him. They have a run game. It's him running the ball. They have a downfield threat. Great. That's where he needed to be. But he doesn't have that short yardage stuff. He has big down the field, or he's making a play with his feet, or little tiny dump off, stuff like that. He honestly needs to get a bit of a better offense and maybe a better offensive scheme for not having to put himself to be the hero every single play. because even Superman's cape gets torn once in a while, and that's what happens. He gets the playoffs, he has to make plays, and he's the only guy out there, and you have three interceptions like you talked about. And one of the other issues is that he was supposed to be the second best player, the second best quarterback in the AFC. Joe Burrow has now come along and said, hey, I'm in this too. And so, like, you've got that toss-up between who's the second best quarterback in the AFC. There's a lot of pressure there. So Josh Allen deserves to be in that top 10, definitely deserves to be in the top 5 or 6, as he is a superhero every time he goes out there. I really hope that the Bills learn how to keep him safe, to take a little bit off of him, and to play NFL football versus Josh Allen goes out there and wins games for us.
I think it's interesting, Derek. So I know that it's a player we've talked about before, but all of this brings me back to Dalton Kincaid. Like, they moved up 2 spots, drafted the tight end from Utah, should be more of a middle of the field anyway. They might put him in there with Dawson Knox and 12 personnel. They might run a little bit of an 11 personnel or stick him out in the slot with Dawson Knox at tight end. It's going to be interesting. Like, he is more of a middle of the field guy, and they know that they have struggled there. So it just makes me very, very curious if this is going to pan out, because you and I both know, Derek, that you can try to hit at a rookie at a position of need, and it may work 60% of the time and flop 40% of the time. And if it flops, you don't want your whole season hinging on that. And so, by the way, those percentages I just totally made up. But yeah. It makes me nervous, but I do feel like there's a chance that Josh Allen plays like a top 5 player next year. But I also think there's a chance Josh Allen stays about where he's at, maybe slips out of the top 10. It just kind of depends on how clean he can get things on that offense.
No, you're right about that. And I 100% behind you on, I'm hoping that Kincaid is the guy that you need. I mean, they've got some pretty good talent on the offensive line. They've got good receivers. And I'm hoping that they're building a good run game, building a good the middle of the field type of play, as I definitely think that he's needing it. But, you know, we talk about these quarterbacks, we talk about these big contracts and what they're worth, and how, you know, they kind of overshadow the other players out there. You don't really know their names a whole lot. But the best guys on the field are the big guys. And I am going to move on to Brody number 5. So we are talking about the best offensive tackle in the NFL, and arguably the best offensive player in the NFL right now. And that's Trent Williams. Once again, going back to my bandwagon team, the 49ers. Trent Williams, underrated player, underrated to the point of you don't think about him a whole lot. He is moving people. He is a people mover, both with his head and with his heart, and especially with his arms. So he is a vocal leader on the offense. He is going to make you understand where the play is coming from and what needs to be done, because the system that Kyle Shanahan has is complex, and you have to understand the parts of it. He is the best tackle out there for this, because He always makes his he's always out there making his blocks, and on run plays, which everyone knows the Niners like to run, you should just see the bodies fly when it's running to his side, because he puts people on the ground, puts people off of their spot, and there's a reason why these outside runs work so well in San Francisco. It's because of Trent Williams. So 2 years ago, he was our top 10 player. Last year, he was 8, and now he is number 5. My hope is I can get him to number 2 next year, even though I put him number 10 on my list, as I probably was doing some sort of ayahuasca at that point and did not realize where I put him. As but we don't talk about people who take ayahuasca on this this podcast, because they no longer play for the Packers. I toss it over to you, Caleb, if you can quit giving me the evil eyes and tell me about your thoughts of Trent Williams.
Hey, Derek, can you help me real quick? Where did Trent Williams go to college?
I believe that he went to, it was some kind of Big 12 school. I think one of.
Yeah. Oklahoma. Yeah. So this is an Oklahoma based podcast. So anytime we have these Oklahoma connections, we got to shout them out here.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that soon Trent Williams is going to be turning 35 years old before the upcoming season, but he is fit. He is strong. Part of me thinks that him ending up sitting out that 2019 season because of the medical issues that the team that has changed nicknames multiple times since then, medical staff didn't notice with him. And he said, I'm not playing for this man or this organization anymore because y'all are crazy. So, yes, he's 35, but he's a refreshed 35, Derek. He's a sprightly 35 coming into the season. And that's what happens when you get to take off a year in the middle of your NFL career. And I think it's a little strange to me that these last 2 years under Shanahan are the first time that he was first team All-Pro. I think it just goes to show how much when the Associated Press is putting those things together, it helps to be on a good team, because Trent Williams has been good for a really long time, but he was on a lot of bad teams until he ended up in San Francisco. So sure helps.
So before we move on, I just want to say that we're at number 5 and we're not even at the best sooner on our list. I think we might be a little biased.
That's possible. Even though neither of us are fans of the Sooners.
This is true.
Well, let's go to Brody number 4. And, that is right. I did the go with the G-E-A-U-X. Man, no, I'm going to get my spelling right here at some point. But that's because I'm talking about, the Tiger who still wears purple and gold, and that is because he went from LSU to Minnesota, Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. He's just dang good. I don't know what there is to add about him here. 3 years in the league, almost 5,000 receiving yards, a total of 25 touchdowns. We had him at Brody number 27 last year. We were wrong. He was really good. He was really, really good. And he got votes for MVP. He goes out there, and even with Kirk Cousins throwing him the ball, he finds a way to go out there and catch it and do good things for the Minnesota Vikings. He's the threat on that offense, and he just makes everything easier for everyone around him. And I think part of why he flew up on this board a little bit is because of that new coach that came in last year, Kevin O'Connell. I think that Jefferson and O'Connell work together so well. And do I know if Kirk Cousins is going to be there a long time? I don't. But Justin Jefferson is probably going to be there with Kevin O'Connell for a long time and just continue to do his thing and make the gritty the most popular NFL celebration of all time. Derek, what do you have to say here about Justin Jefferson, the young 24-year-old?
Yeah, so this guy is our best wide receiver in our Brody 50, definitely, and the only wide receiver that we have in the top 10, which definitely tells you exactly how talented he is and how talented everyone else is in the top 10. So Justin Jefferson catches everything. I'm pretty sure that he is part glue and part speedster. So he does everything you ask him to do. He runs routes and he gets open. Like he is always out there and just makes it look effortless. And I'm not sure how he does it. Like, as you would think, hey, we've got this guy who this, you know, we're going to double cover him. We're going to bracket cover him. We're going to, and yet he's always open. He's always getting the ball and he makes Kirk Cousins look good. And I don't know how you do it, but he does. And he's great. And I was wrong last year, and I apologize to Mr. Jefferson, longtime listener of ours. I know he's been with us since season two. Because last year, 27, far too low. I mean, like we said at the beginning of this, top 50 players, you can rank them from 1 to 50. 50 players, it's all about small, minuscule stuff. There's no bad players or there's no guys on this list who don't deserve to be there. Justin Jefferson definitely deserved to be higher than 27. He has come into the league and just never looked back. So a hat tip to Justin Jefferson, our best wide receiver, and, you know, hopefully a long, fruitful career and when he'll be in the top five of the Brody 50 every single year.
Well, Derek, I'm glad we have him here. I think it's time for us to go to his college teammate, though.
So, Brody number three. So we, as you know, the best players are always going to be the guy who gets the ball on every offensive play. We go to the guy who started it all, who likes to smoke a cigar on the couch after winning a national championship. Of course, number three is Joe. I have no nickname, Burrow, as the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. So let me get on my soapbox once again about this man. So he has saved the career of an offensive coach by the name of Zach Taylor, who has some ties to this podcast slightly, and who has revolutionized the game of football, frankly. He has literally said, I am not going to lose, and he didn't. He went from a couple of different schools in college, got to LSU, and just said, we're going to go win a national championship, and that's what he did. Justin Jefferson was there, gritting all along, smiling with his grill. Joe Burrow has taken the Cincinnati Bengals from the laughingstock of a top five pick every single year, bottom of the NFC North to, like I was just saying, four picks ago, that Joe Burrow is up for. Is he the second best quarterback in the AFC? And is he one of the best three or four quarterbacks, period, in the NFL? Yes, there's a great receiving core up there, and of course you have to have a great receiving core, but goes out there, gets hurt, comes back the next year, and you know, you think, okay, this guy is not going to do as much because he's been hurt. He had a significant injury, and what has he done? Just made plays. The Bengals are in the Super Bowl conversation every single year. I did not think I would ever see that, and it's because of Joe. I'm not going to say any nicknames, Burrow, because everyone just gives him horrible nicknames. Joe Burrow, the guy who started the "I'm going to point at my finger because LSU is winning a national championship."
Yeah, it's crazy because sometimes I think of what Joe Burrow has done in Cincinnati in such a short period of time. And it literally makes me think, is Joe Burrow the best quarterback that the Cincinnati Bengals have ever had? And I don't know that it's that much of a stretch. And we're only talking about someone who's basically played 2.5 years because he got hurt his rookie season.
Yeah.
He's got a total of 82 touchdowns, 31 picks. He made a Super Bowl, which we all know how bad Cincinnati was in the playoffs for so many years before. Like, if you look at their history, they have like Ken Anderson, Andy Dalton, Boomer Esiason, and Carson Palmer. And if you ask me, at least as of right now, Joe Burrow is way more talented. He is way more talented than any of those. And if he can keep it healthy, he's going to be in Bengals record books, potentially be a Hall of Famer. The tough thing is the AFC, like you said, is stacked at quarterback. We could go through and list a whole bunch of top AFC quarterbacks. I'm sure we have several on the list. I mean, not in this top 10, but, you know, we've had the former MVP and Lamar Jackson, who we've talked about previously. We've talked about Justin Herbert. Allen's up here. Burrow, unknown quarterback to be named later, is someone who he's just got to compete with to try to get rings. Because if you can get rings, it's going to give you a little bit more notoriety and a little bit more credence. But it's just tough because there's no easy path in the AFC. Derek, any final words about Joe, no nickname Burrow, before we go on to our next player?
Oh, I think we move on. I feel a little bit of pain and it kind of hurts.
Brody number two. Boy, were we wrong to leave this man off the top 50 list last year. It is Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of Fly Eagles Fly, those Philadelphia Eagles. Now, he was injured a little bit last year, but when he was starting in the regular season, he went 14-1. I believe that loss was also the game he got hurt in. Had a fantastic postseason as well. He passes the ball well. Had 22 touchdowns and 6 picks. He was automatic on fourth downs to pick them up. Picked up 67 first downs rushing last year and had 13 rushing touchdowns, which is back-to-back double-digit rushing touchdown seasons. He is so good. As you mentioned, he is the top Oklahoma Sooner on this list. He is the top Alabama Crimson Tide player on this list. He is the top Philadelphia Eagles player on this list. He's topping many areas.
Second best Big 12 player on this list.
Second best quarterback on this list. Yeah. What, like, they're... I think I came in after the Super Bowl and said Jalen Hurts is going to be paid as a top 5 quarterback, which he now has been. And I think I may have said that, like, I don't know what the odds are, but I would at least got to consider him a front runner for MVP this coming year. Like, if Philly can do it again, we know that it's because Jalen Hurts is playing exceptional football. Because it sure did not look nearly as good when Gardner Minshew started a few games without him last year. Derek, what do you want to add here about Jalen?
Okay, so every place that he has been a winner. So, but he's always been underrated. So he gets to a national championship game and gets benched for Tua Tagovailoa. And they win that game. Cool. He goes to OU, wins some games, but underrated. He's a second-round pick, which completely changes his contract situation on his first contract. No fifth-year option, anything like that. Says, cool. I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna put my work in. All that kind of stuff. Sits behind, and comes out and puts up an MVP quality year. Takes them to the Super Bowl, and looks really good doing it. Like better than I have seen him play in his entire career. Now, I am going to take a little bit of trepidation for Hurts this year. I'm giving him 6 games. If Jalen Hurts can be Jalen Hurts of last year in the first 6 games, then I am going to chalk him up. I'm going to give him his MVP accolades. But the Eagles lost both of their coordinators this year. They became head coaches. Shane Steichen went to the Colts. That was the offensive coordinator. You know, is Shane Steichen the reason why he is was as good as he was? We're going to find out this year. That being said, we cannot put unrealistic expectations on Jalen Hurts, as just because he may not be as good as last year, you know, take a small step back, doesn't mean that he's not worth every penny that he got this offseason. Along with that, he's a great quarterback, and they've got a great team, and I am expecting them to go right back to the playoffs, top 2 seed, everything that we've seen before.
Well, Derek, let's go ahead. Let's roll out the red carpet here as we get to the top name on our list. I'm sure that I hope you have the ketchup ready for this announcement.
I stake my claim on it. Brody number 1. So Brody number 1 for the 3rd year in a row. He was number 1 in 2021, number 1 in 2022, and number 1 in 2023. That is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, just a few minutes ago, I talked about Travis Kelce, and I talked about how does Travis Kelce always stay open. You know how he's always open? Because his quarterback throws him open. Patrick Mahomes does the little things at the line of scrimmage, and when he has the ball in his hands, that makes defenders react. Pump fakes, because he's completed so many of those little dump-off plays, or I'm going to slightly toss it to you plays, or like wild and wacky circus plays, that you have to figure out if the ball is actually still in his hands. He has a 3-quarter throw. He has an underhand throw. He has, I think he goes invisible and like walks over to his receiver and puts the ball in his hand kind of play. Cause I don't know how he does it, how he places the ball into his receiver's hands, but he does. And he makes really quick decisions, makes the best decision for the play that they have. 2-time Super Bowl champion. And that's just not a fluke. I mean, like, you can have a really great team, you can have a really great quarterback, but you do it a second time and not like back to back years, but you do it a second time, that means something. And everyone is afraid of Patrick Mahomes because you did not see him coming. I mean, he was a number 10 pick, so he's definitely, you know, a higher pick. But coming out of Texas Tech, I did not see him take over the NFL like this. I am flabbergasted. I'm not a fan of it because, as a Broncos fan, he beats the Broncos, I think, like 19 times in a row now. It's just been... it's been horrible, but I love watching him play. As him and Andy Reid have something going on, and they make it happen.
They do make it happen. It's crazy, Derek. I mean, we're already talking about a player who, in 5 years of starting, because in 2017, his rookie year, he did sit behind Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Two-time most valuable player. Two-time Super Bowl most valuable player. He's still young. He'll be turning 28 as the season starts, which is super young for a quarterback. Like, there's so much potential. He has that, like, fake out that he does in the ground game where he looks like he can't hardly walk and then does, like, a old man run. I don't even know what to call it, where he like skippity scampers down the field, but he does it and he does it well. He gets out of the pocket. He finds Travis Kelce. And like even last year when Tyreek Hill was gone, Patrick Mahomes made all of the people around him look better. Marquez Valdes-Scantling looked great. Juju Smith-Schuster, fantastic. Arguably one of the best seasons of his career. Mecole Hardman, great. Sky Moore. I mean, he makes Sky Moore look like a player that can do stuff. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see it happen again because they did lose some talent. They're going to have to rebuild around that offense again. But I don't think we're going to sit here and say it's in doubt. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of, like, looking at things way too soon, Derek. If I pull up that Hall of Fame tracker for Patrick Mahomes, with 5 seasons of starting, he is currently, in their opinion, the 20th best quarterback of all time.
I mean, that makes sense, because there's a lot of really great quarterbacks out there. I mean, you've got Namath and Elway. You know, there's a lot of really great players who have retired. So 19 quarterbacks better than him, I could see that where he sits right now. I think when he's done, he's going to be in the top five. Honestly, I think he's going to have one or two more Super Bowls, and I think he's going to probably have another MVP under his belt, and that's going to change the outlook. He's definitely in the Hall of Fame right now, even if he retired tomorrow.
Yeah, right now the quarterback that he would be catching next is Kurt Warner.
Oh.
And the quarterback they have him in front of is Eli Manning. And
okay,
I think we would both say, okay, we're not 5 years removed yet, but Eli will be in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only had 5 seasons as a starter. Like, we're barely talking about anything, but those 5 seasons have been electric, must-see football. You know he's going to do something like a no-look pass. He's going to find someone on the sideline that's going to be able to scamper down the field for a touchdown. It doesn't matter if he's finding Travis Kelce or Jerick McKinnon or whoever with the pass. He's going to find a way to get the job done. It's just what Patrick Mahomes has done time and time again. And that's why he has to be number one on this list.
No, I agree. And like you said, you named off all of those receivers that he's made better. That other teams, like, okay, they were good on that team, but he's made them like stars. Do you think that Patrick Mahomes is a wide receiver magnet to the point of a guy taking less money than he could get on the open market to play in Kansas City?
I think you have to consider it, especially if you're someone who's already gone out and made money in your career. As we're recording this, we've not heard anything about, let's just say, like DeAndre Hopkins and where he may end up going.
Huh.
You know, granted, he didn't have the best year in Arizona last year. But at the same time, you're going to tell me that DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't look better in Kansas City? Like, what are you thinking? And think of like how good Kadarius Toney has looked there compared to his early Giants career.
My goodness.
Like, he does have a fantastic offensive line. We did have Creed on our list. We could have had a couple of other elite players from that line on this list because it's one of the best offensive lines in football. But there's just no doubting that he gets people to come in. Like, I at least would think if you were sitting there and you had similar-esque offers that you would take less from Kansas City to play with Mahomes. Like, if it, let's say it's like $8 million a year to play in Kansas City and $11 million a year to, play for the Bucks right now. Like, you want to play with Mahomes. You don't want to go to the Buccaneers where you don't know what the heck's happening with that coaching staff or organization after this year.
So if you think if D-Hop goes to Kansas City, takes a smaller deal, don't you think that he would probably make the money more on the back end? Be like, hey, you're the one-year deal. Hey, I still have a lot of talent left in me. You know, goes to Kansas City, maybe wins a ring because Kansas City always seems to be there. But it puts up some really good numbers. Don't you think that's a risk you're willing to take to try to get the other side?
I think that it's a risk that you've got to be willing to take. I mean, even if you think about it, last year, Juju Smith-Schuster went there. He ended up getting a lot in incentives because he had $5.5 million paid out in incentives because of the things that he did. But it was a small 1-year deal that ended up paying out $9.2 million because of all those incentives. But then he went out this year, goes to the Patriots, who we know are not going to be nearly the offense that the Chiefs are, and he has a 3-year, $25.5 million contract. And that's before we get to the added incentives, like $16 million guaranteed in this. I know Juju's clearly a lot younger, but it's not like DeAndre Hopkins is that old. DeAndre signs for 1 year, incentive-laden contract. He could easily go out and get another 2 or 3 years on the back end of his career somewhere, making more, maybe working with some younger receivers.
Well, there you go.
Derek, I can't believe it. We've made it through the top 50 again. It is the end of our countdown. It is the end of season 4. I feel weird knowing I'm not going to be talking to you the same amount next week because we're taking a slight pause before we launch season 5, and it's just going to be a good time. We want you to come with us for this good time. And if you want to tell us where we're wrong, tell us wrong on Twitter at Brody Talk. We're happy to hear you there. But we want you to subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a single episode because we're just getting started on getting hyped for the 2023 NFL season. So on behalf of my good buddy, Derek, my name is Caleb Walger, and we are signing off of this episode of Brody Sports Talk. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.